Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway.
Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares actually inched up at the open today despite overnight losses on Wall Street amid analysts' expectations of reduced Federal Reserve action this year. Then early trade, the Straits Times Index was up 0.2% to 3,192 points after nearly 40 million securities changed hands in the broader market. Now, as usual, closing numbers still firming up. Here's what I have on my screen right now. The Straits Times Index, as we told you earlier in the afternoon, gave up earlier gains. It is down 0.43%. We're looking at 3,174 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.41 billion Sing dollars. Now, gainers trailed losers 244 versus 372. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, UOB, OCBC, Singtel and Genting Singapore. Heavily traded securities, Seatrium, Genting Singapore and Thai Beverage. Now, in terms of companies to watch for today, we do have CapitaLand Integrated Commercial Trust. The REIT manager said in a business update today that it posted a net property income of 293.7 million Sing dollars for Q1 ended March, which is up 6.3% on a yearly basis. Now, meanwhile, from movements in oil prices following rising tensions in the Middle East, as well as impact on global markets, to chip makers SK Hynix and TSMC working together to make next generation high bandwidth memory chips for AI technology, more international headlines remain in focus. Joining me on the line today is Sunny So, Lead Technical Analyst, Capital Markets and Investor Education at SIAS. Sunny, welcome.
Hi, Tian. Thanks for having me back on a Friday evening.
Great to have you back on a Friday evening as well, Sunny. But when we look at Asian markets and what's happening around the world today, rather volatile. I mean, Asian markets tumbled, oil prices up over 3% at one point after an Israel strike on Iran. Gold was up. How wide-ranging and long-lasting do you expect rising tensions in the Middle East to really weigh on regional markets? I mean, if we look at airline stocks, fluctuating oil prices, what are you seeing at the moment?
Yes, this morning I was having my coffee and then the news flashed on the TV that the conflict has reignited between Israel and Iran this morning. And Israel carried out a limited strike in Iran and immediately we saw stocks and risk assets tumble, while safe havens like gold and of course oil price spike as well. So in early morning trade, the oil prices spiked more than 3% with the global benchmark Brent crude futures topping $90 a barrel. So that sort of inflamed the fears of inflation again. And crude futures have now since pegged some of the gains, last trading about over 1.3% higher right now. Regional markets in Asia were also in the red as well, not a surprise, with Taiwan index falling over 3% and Japan Nikkei 225 index lost more than 2%. Hang Seng index is dropping close to 1% as well. What we are seeing in the market right now is a flight to safety because we are now very unsure how is this latest development in the Middle East is going to play out. Is it going to be a long protracted crisis or war? So much of it maybe depends on what Iran do. The ball may not be in Iran's court right now, and a lot depends on how they will react. What will Iran do next will determine the broader economic impact on the global markets. But definitely, oil and gold price will likely stay elevated for now. Even treasuries would be a safe haven that some investors will be looking at. And stocks and risk assets are going to stay under pressure for some time. And about airline stocks, already we saw SIA fallen close to 3% this week since the beginning of the week when we first heard that Iran launched the unprecedented strike on Israel with a barrage of drones and missiles. Not forgetting the Taiwan earthquake, the Ukraine and Russia conflict is actually still ongoing, although it may not be in the news right now. Yeah. So U.S. may need to deploy resources on both fronts. So with the higher oil price, possible supply chain disruption, it may reignite the global inflation situation again and further push back the rate cuts that we are expecting this year, which is going to be a very big negative for stocks and equities.
Right. Lots going on all at the same time. Now, let's turn our attention to look at what's happening within Singapore. How has the SDI fared so far today, given global worries in terms of tensions in the Middle East and any surprises when it comes to the biggest movers, really?
I'm still seeing that the Straits Times Index were at the numbers that you reported earlier, down 4.3% or about 13.5 points or 4.3% today. This is after rising about 32 points or 1.05% yesterday. So we are unable to continue the rebound from yesterday. Much of it, of course, due to the Middle East uncertainty right now. As for big gainers, I do see CICT, Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust, up about 3 cents today. Or 2 cents today at close, and it's up about 1.08%. So that is due to their positive first quarter results. And the other stock that's heavily traded, I also saw Seatrium, which could be due to the oil price movement, because Seatrium is exposure to the oil market. So they are up about 1.32% right now. So these are the two big movers that caught my eyes on the STI.
Right, and you mentioned one of the companies that's on my list today in terms of the companies to watch, and that's Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust. The REIT manager said in a business update that it posted net property income of 293.7 million Sing dollars for Q1, ended March up 6.3% year on year. Now, aside from that, the other company that we want to talk about is data center focus Capital DC REIT, reporting 13.7% year on year drop in Q1 distribution per unit. So which of these two really stood out to you today?
Yes, so very contrasting earnings report from both of these REITs counters. First, for CICT, right, they reported their net income jumping 6.3% to Sing dollar 293 million. Gross revenue was also up 2.6% to 398 million. So these positive results were supported by their gross rental income growth as well as lower operating expenses. Its retail and office assets, as well as integrated developments, also booked year-on-year gains in gross revenue and NPI as well. But occupancy was down slightly down by 0.3% to 97%. But on Capital DC REIT, they posted a 13.7% lower first quarter DPU of 2.192 cents compared with the 2.514 cents that they have in the year ago period. But gross revenue was up 18.4% to 83.4 million. From the 70 million in Q1 last year. So this stood out a bit more as revenue was up, but the DPU was down. Mm-hmm. This was mainly due to their Q1 rental income from their Guangdong data center. Mm-hmm. The rental for the Guangdong data center continued to be recognized under their gross revenue, hence the gross revenue was up, but was correspondingly net off via the losses in the property expenses. Hence, the property expense for the period as a result rose 89% to 12.4 million from the 6.5 million the year before. So for the DPU for Q1, it was reduced by about 0.3 cents due to the Guangdong data center leases. After the quarter's DPU, if we do not take into that the Guangdong data center leases as a consideration, the DPU would just be down 0.9% instead of the headline 13.7%. So it's not for the outstanding rental that is they are supposed to get from Guangdong data centers, their DPU will not be as much affected as we see in the headline numbers.
Right, I see. Now, from the REITs, right, Sunny, let's take a look at UOB. Its Group Chief Executive and Deputy Chairman Wee Ee Cheong said yesterday that UOB's target to achieve a return on equity of 14% is quote-unquote decent. Now, he added that the group's ROE has a chance of a further upside if fees from wealth business or trading activities do well. How far has that piece of news really moved its counters looking at the price movements today? I mean, shares were down, right?
Yes, definitely. Most of the shares were down today. Yeah. But I would say, first thing, stock prices are affected by several factors, not only about the certain news or the financial fundamentals, also on the outlook of the macroeconomic environment as well with the geopolitical uncertainties right now. So UOB share price hit a high of $13.89 last week, and it's now trading around $13.68. So maybe the news has not been fully priced in yet. The target set by UOB of a 14% ROE, I think, is definitely achievable and sustainable for the foreseeable future, say the next 3 to 5 years, because already UOB has achieved a core ROE of 14.2% for its financial year ended 2023, up 2.3% from the previous year. The other bank, DBS, also achieved a record ROE of 18%, and DBS CEO was confident that the group would achieve an ROE of 15 to 17% over the next three years. So with the interest rate staying elevated, most of our local banks will be key beneficiaries. Contributions from the acquisition of Citigroup retail portfolio for UOB in Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand and Vietnam will also help UOB achieve this target as well. So it will not be a surprise. It is likely a decent target to look at.
Right. Now, across the region, Sunny, Apple said it has removed Meta's WhatsApp and Threads from its App Store in China today after it was ordered by the Chinese government to do so, according to Apple. Again, I suppose this is more or less expected, but do you think investors are confident about big tech, US big tech firms' ability to diversify away from China?
I think, be it US big tech firm or any other big US firm will not be able to completely diversify away from China market due to its sheer size and potential. Already, we saw last month some of the big executives from the major US firms, from banks to big tech, met up with top Chinese government officials on how they could expand their businesses in China. So, as you said, the removal of this is more or less expected. So this removal of the apps is likely due to a new rule that was announced last August that require all apps in China to register with the government or risk being removed. So WhatsApp, Threads, and there are two other apps as well, Telegram and Signal, were also removed. So this removal of the apps suggests the growing intolerance on the part of the China central government towards at least some of the foreign online messaging services that fall outside its control. So the deadline for the companies to comply was end of March, and the regulation came in effect this month in April, 1st of April. So I think this is, like you said, it's not something that is unexpected. It's just that the Chinese government wanted to have more control, if not all controls, of their social media and, of course, some of the big companies in China as well. So I think this is just a business as usual in China. And if you want to operate there, you will just have to abide by the rules of the government in that region or in that country.
Right. And Sunny, I've got 40 seconds to go, but I really wanted to ask this, which has to do with SK Hynix saying that it will collaborate with TSMC to make next generation high bandwidth memory chips used in AI technology. Any quick thoughts?
Quick thoughts here. So the keyword that you mentioned here is AI technology. Yeah. So you can look at NVIDIA, look at AMD and their outlook for this year as well as next year. It says that the AI tech boom is likely going to continue in the next few years. So I'm not surprised that SK Hynix said today that it will collaborate with TSMC to make the next generation high bandwidth chip, because the demand for the foreseeable mid to long-term future will still be there. Hence, my quick thought is this is actually a news that reaffirms what the market has been viewing, or what most analysts have been viewing, that the AI tech boom is likely going to continue for the short-term, mid-term, to even the longer-term. And hence, stocks like SK Hynix, TSMC, NVIDIA, or even tech-heavy Nasdaq is likely going to grow up further. If this pullback in the Middle East or the geopolitical crisis is a concern, then I would see this as an opportunity to get back into the market to ride on the AI tech boom.
Right, lots to watch indeed. Thanks a lot for the insights, Sunny. As always, Sunny So, lead technical analyst, capital markets and investor education at Sias. Thank you very much for joining us.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation and risk tolerance.